What's up, everybody? Welcome to More Gold Investors. I am your co-host, Aza Yassir, and my other co-host is in here with me. What's your name?
This is Lakisha Naidira. You know my name.
Oh, yeah, I do. Folks, this has been a crazy morning already. We're trying to record the show and our phones don't want us to record. I don't know. It's probably some iPhone stuff. You know how they are.
But well, you're the only person that has an iPhone, so
right.
You're
and
right. It's probably some iPhone stuff for sure.
Right. So iPhone's trying to communicate with your phone and it's just mad because it's not an iPhone or something. I don't know. But, okay, so we're going to be talking about some great things today, but I want to start off with a funny.
A funny?
Is that all right? Yeah, I want to start off with a funny. Is that all right?
I mean, it's your show. You can start off with...
No, it's your show, too.
Right, exactly. So, hey, you can start off with a funny, a honey, a cupcake.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you know, nothing. However you want to do it. Hey.
Okay. But see, I asked you because you're the one that's getting ready to be telling this funny.
Well, I guess you do need to ask. If it's okay. What exactly am I telling?
Okay, so yesterday when we were talking about what happened in that Family Dollar, was that in Gary?
That was not in Gary. Actually, that was in Chicago. That was on 87th. I believe that. Yeah, 87th. As a matter of fact, nope, I take it back. I had went to the 87th Street Chicago Family Dollar, and I had to leave there because I was going. You know how you make a purchase just because you need a cash station machine, you need to get cash back, and they didn't have any cash, so I had to go to another Family Dollar, and that one was like, I think it was on 71st. It was on 71st, past the Dan Ryan. So you want me to tell that story?
I do want you to tell that story. And I thought it was in Gary because I didn't even know Chicago still had Family Dollar.
See, where do you live?
I don't mess with Family Dollar like that. I went in there yesterday. I was like, oh, I can't do this. I can't do this. It's a whole nother level.
In my opinion, you know, just like you see places like Walgreens in the Midwest everywhere, or McDonald's in the Midwest, or well, really all over, Family Dollar has become a staple here in the Midwest. It's everywhere. Mm. And you probably don't pay attention because I know you're looking for golden opportunities and you may not consider Family Dollar one of them, but Family Dollar is in some cases on, you know, every other corner almost. So yeah, this was Chicago. It was not Gary. And it's interesting because you had an interesting experience of your own, but sure, I'll definitely go ahead and share with mine. So as I stated, I went to a Family Dollar and I was really going there because I really just wanted to get cash. So of course you have to buy something. So I'm in line. The store was not that crowded. And as you know, every time you enter Family Dollar, it says it greets you, you know, the computerized whatever, you get greeted. But I'm in line. And while I'm in line, there's this guy standing over. Honestly, I wasn't even paying attention to him. He was like at the other register. And that particular register was closer to the exit. So as I'm standing in the opposite, at the opposite register line, the clerk, who I found out was also the manager, she screams out because she's like, put that, you know, blankety blank. Basically what he had done, he had grabbed a whole entire case of candy. Like, you know how like you go to the section where you pull a candy bar out or whatever, the whole case, he grabbed the whole entire thing and he had stuck it underneath his coat. I didn't see this. Now, if I would have just probably looked, maybe I would have, but I did not see this. And how she saw him, I don't know. She like must have jumped over. She didn't literally jump over the register, but she pretty much did. She came from under the register so quickly. I mean, she was ready to defend, to protect her store, as she called it. But she told him in so many words or less to put that blankety blank back. She went on to, you know, use some other language and profanity to describe, you know, what it is that she wanted in terms of the action. And she was like, it is too blankety blank early in the morning for this here blankety blank. There were a lot of blankety blanks, and I'm saying blankety blank because I'm just, you know, respecting the show. Oh my gosh, she had a mouthful. And it was just so funny because it was almost as if he was expecting her, because he didn't go back and forth with her. First of all, I wouldn't have went back and forth with her either. I was even a little like, I was standing there like, oh, what did I just walk into? Like, I felt like I was at a circus, a zoo. I didn't know, because just that quickly things had jumped off, and I wasn't coming here for that. I was only coming to get change. But the way she called him out, he took the candy bars. I'm talking about the whole case from underneath his coat, and he put them back. And she just kept cussing and kept fussing. And then she told him, "Get your blankety blank out of here." Too dang early in the morning for this. Blankety blank, blank, blank.
That's crazy. That's crazy. I did not know Family Dollar was in Chicago, but I see it everywhere, all over Gary. And it's like the number one business in Gary. I went in there yesterday, but you just pointed something out. You said every time somebody walks in the door, it greets you.
Yes.
Okay, so that's why every 2 minutes it came on a loudspeaker, "Welcome to Family Dollar. You are being, you are under surveillance." I was like, what in the world is going on here? I can't do it. I can't do it. And see, that's why we have to buy commercial property in neighborhoods, and we have to control the businesses that come into the neighborhoods. And we have to create economic opportunities in these neighborhoods, real jobs, real businesses. Not saying that Family Dollar is not a real business, but the amount of insanity that goes on in that store is off the chain. But it's up to us to create real economic opportunities in these neighborhoods.
Yes, indeed.
So that was crazy. When you posted that, I was like, okay, this is nuts. This is nuts. So let's talk about,
well,
what are we doing?
Well, let me tell my story, though, because, you know,
I thought it was finished.
No, I didn't quite finish. Let me, you know, see, I'm a storyteller, and I have to make sure that everybody got it. Like, I tell the full story. So it's not much more to the story. What I thought was kind of interesting is that after she said what she said, she cussed him out, he left out of the store. Then there was another customer who was right behind him who says, "Oh, well, he was just in here 5 minutes ago, and he had taken a whole nother case of candy." So what kind of had me scratching my head about that one, I'm like, she said it so calmly and so naturally, but I'm like, but you didn't say anything until like right now, like, you know. And then the lady who was in front of me says, "Well, instead of stealing all this candy, he should have stole an apple. Because he needs these nutrients and stuff, you know, that's probably why he's still in the first place." And that, all of this combined, is what made me feel like I was in some kind of circus or zoo. Because, yeah. And then again, the manager, I guess the demeanor that she took on, which I thought about this later, because I always think if I own a store, or even if I'm managing a store, let's just go back. If I'm managing a store, I believe safety first. Safety is first, period. The way that she responded to me, well, first of all, she performed as if she had some type of training. So I don't know what she was about to do, but she was extremely protective, and she made it clear that this was her store. And I felt like she was so willing to put her life on the line for this Family Dollar store. Now, if I was to make an educated guess, I'm sure I would be almost close to correct in saying it wasn't her store. She was just that of the manager. But let's say she did own the store and it was hers. You know, where do you draw the line? And I understand us protecting our stuff and what belongs to us. I don't know if I would have been as comfortable responding the way that she did, because she was ready to take him on and he was afraid of her. So, you know, but when you're talking about ownership versus something that you don't necessarily own, but when you also include the fact that it's a possibility that somebody's life is in danger, You know, where do you draw the line? So that's pretty much the story in a nutshell. It just caused me to think and how we are so quick to want to protect something that doesn't even belong to us.
Look, that's right. You're talking about where do you draw the line? If she were the owner of the store, she would know that that stuff is insured.
Exactly.
So exactly. All you have to do is file a report and that stuff is insured. You are not supposed to be putting your life on the line for some candy bars. And first of all, you don't own the store. And the unfortunate thing is, I don't know, what's the minimum wage in Chicago now? It's outrageous. But what is it?
I think it's $10. I'm not sure.
Okay, so it's probably still $10, but it's going up. So you're risking your life for a $10 an hour job. And I'm not dismissing that. You know, $10 an hour can mean a lot to somebody. So I'm not dismissing that. But you are, look at it. You're risking your life for a $10 an hour job. So if you spend your time there a day, that's 80 hours. $80 that you have wasted your life on. That's insane. That's insane. Are you going to die over a candy bar?
He was ready.
Or you're going to kill somebody over a candy bar? Come on now.
I told you, even as I stood there, I got afraid. I'm like, I'm standing there like, wow, okay. Is there another way? You know, because I always think when I'm in situations, I always kind of, you know, reflect and just wonder, how would I have responded to that situation? Because when you're not the person that is so involved, you can't think, you know, because you were the onlooker. So you do have a to maybe think outside of the other person. But I knew one thing, I wouldn't have responded the way that she responded. Now it would be different if I'm talking about protecting my child.
Right.
That will spark that type of energy. But you're talking about protecting candy bars. Two cases, I understand. It wasn't just one sticker. It was, you know, a case earlier and then another case, not to make light of it. But still, is that worth it? The way she jumped over that register, came from behind that register, it really kind of reminded me of like a mother who is kind of sick and tired. And I done told you, and I done told you, I'm about to come and get you now. That's what it reminded me of. So it could have been a case that these stores get robbed a lot. And maybe that's why, like when you mentioned earlier about that annoying voice that you kept hearing of saying that you're being, the surveillance, you know, and it welcomes you to the store. The reason I believe that they have all of these things in place because of the fact that they are in high crime areas. Or areas where they do have a lot of theft. And as you mentioned, I believe even in the conversation you were talking about, that did you say that the batteries were locked up?
Oh my goodness, the battery had an anti-theft thing on them. And with that combined with every 2 minutes, me hearing, "Welcome to Family Dollar, you are under surveillance," I had to leave because it was not good for my it was not good for my mental health. I do not go into stores. I tell people I don't go into gas stations that are like trap houses. I don't do it. If you don't know what a trap house is, you can look it up on Urban Dictionary. I do not I do not go into gas stations that are like trap houses, and I do not go into stores where I'm made to feel like I'm in prison or I'm a criminal. I can't do it, and it's not good for your mental health. So I want to know what mentality somebody has to have to put their life on the line for some candy bars, and what mentality somebody has to have to shop at these stores, because there's people who shop at these stores every day.
You ask a really good question and make a good point, Aja. When you ask the question about the mindset, I think that it's more than the mindset, is more about the condition that these particular communities are in, who are saturated with stores like a Family Dollar. Most of these places are neighborhoods that are void of grocery stores and other places where people can actually go and get, you know, their needs met. And even not just grocery stores, but really any kind of store. And so Family Dollars has become that store that you almost see just about on every corner in certain neighborhoods. And so in many cases, due to a lack of a lot of things, whether it's transportation, whether it's just not having other resources, this is the only thing that some people have to depend on. And unfortunately, those stores, they are heavy on security. So you're going to get those the security thing that goes off as soon as you come in the store. It's pretty much letting you know, like, look, if you even think that you're gonna take something, we already are watching you. And I see myself how that can be extremely stressful being in a store. I feel that. I feel you. I mean, imagine you're in a store, you come to pick up batteries, and you stated that the batteries even have something attached to it just so that you don't walk out. I mean, I've also seen it with just simple things like detergent, because even that same day that I was in that store, I remember thinking, like, my goodness, everything is locked up. Like, what does not have a security tag on it? And to me, that must cost tons and tons of dollars just to even make everything so-called safe. But I get it. I get it, but I don't. I understand it in terms of why it is, that people and places like this may respond the way in which they do. Not that it's a good thing, not that it's fair, none of that. It's just that I do see it from varying perspectives.
You know, it's interesting because as you're speaking, first of all, I have to say it again. It's crazy that I did not know that Family Dollar was in Chicago because I grew up in Englewood, which is the quote unquote hood. But it's interesting that you're saying that it's a limited supply of stores in these areas and people go there and it's a high crime area. But I'm wondering if it is still a mentality where people think that they don't have any other options, where they think they don't have any other options, but they actually do have other options. Because you
Oh.
have a whole world of shop, but I guess it's the walking distance. I guess you're familiar with the store, and I guess you get used to living in that condition.
No, you're
So,
absolutely right. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. You hit the nail on the head. You get used to it. It becomes normal. It becomes the normal abnormality. So, when I am conditioned to believe that there is no way out, then I become a prisoner within my own mind. So, this is why you can enter into a store that's like a prison and you're okay with it. I mean, you're not, I'm not, but other people are because they are prisoners within their own mind. So, even when the woman said, well, he needs to eat an apple. it took me aback, although I got it from another perspective. But really, you're dealing with a condition. You're dealing with conditioning that's taking place on a day-to-day basis. It's like children who go to school that's like a penal system. So when you enter the door of the school, they're automatically letting you know that you're going to be searched and checked and that there's a security system. So if I'm living like that every single day, every time I'm going to go and get some batteries, going to get some milk, going to get some cheese, butter, eggs, whatever it is for my family, going to get toiletries. And every week, if I go to the store twice a week, I'm being told the same thing every time, every day. Then after a while, it becomes a part of who I am. Not only is it just a part, it is who I am. I've accepted it, I believe it, and I'm not going to look for anything better. So this is why you have a situation right now in the city of Chicago. For those of you who are familiar, because I know this show goes all over, but in the city of Chicago, on the South Side in particular, and the South Side in this particular area is an area where a majority of the population, like 99.9%, are Black people. There is a Target that stands there on around 87th and Cottage, somewhere around there. The Target is saying they're going to be closing down. And the people in the neighborhood are losing it, you know, from wanting to protest. When I say losing it, very angry, very upset. They feel like, how dare you close down Target? How dare you come and close down when you've been supplying us with our needs? How dare you?
And in a case like this, we look at it like an opportunity where everyone else is wondering, how dare you close this store down, take away the only place in the area that can actually provide us with our basic needs. Aja and I, more gold investors, we're looking at it like, wow, what a golden opportunity. What an opportunity to go into now a place where
main store in the community is closing down. We can actually either A, see, this is how an investor thinks. This is how developers think. What is it that the community need? Right now, they're letting you know, we need a store. So we say, huh, is it possible for one that we can actually purchase the property that they're getting ready to close down? That's one option. Two, is it possible, if that place is not available, is it somewhere else near? Because since we already know that the people were used to going here to this particular Target, you know, we can at least help them with some type of consistency so we can stay in the area as much as possible. So is it something else in the area that maybe we can obtain, that we can buy, that we can make our own? Are the people in the community interested in maybe participating by being a part of the community, really being a part by now pooling their resources, saying, okay, we're going to crowdfund this. We're going to come together. We're going to bring our dollars together in a big pot. And we're going to now take complete ownership. So now no one else can come and tell us that it's going to close down. This is how you begin to change your mind, think outside the box, and create your own reality, because it is, there's always opportunities, but when your eyes are sealed closed and your ears are sealed shut, then you can't even think outside of the box. But again, this is how investors and others think, and that's why it's so important that we change the way we think and we look at everything as an opportunity.
You know, I don't even think we have time to think otherwise. I don't think we have time to think in any kind of other way. It makes me think of Gary. When I first got to Gary and I started looking around and trying to understand the atmosphere and trying to understand the history of it and how it ended up the way it is, I kept running into a lot of people. And you know what? I'm getting ready to offend some more people. But I think that is my New Year's resolution, to offend as many people as I possibly can.
Why do you want to offend people, Aja Yassir? Why?
Because I need to trigger them into movement. So if I can trigger you and offend you to move, maybe that's my duty in your life.
Okay.
Maybe that's why I was sent to their lives, to offend them. But anyway, listen, when I first got to Gary and started trying to maneuver and trying to understand the atmosphere, because when you are going into a new spot, you need to figure out the atmosphere where you're trying to invest first, so that you don't become that person that is set on moving people and the culture. So I said, okay, I need to understand the culture of Gary. Let me talk to some people in Gary so I can understand this. Let me go to meetings so I can understand what is going on. And every person that I talked to, 90% of the people were saying, oh, Gary is like this because of white flight. It got to a point where I was like, I don't give up. F. I don't give a F about all these white people leaving Gary. I'm talking about what is going on right now. What happened when they left? What did you do? Did you just sit around and say, oh, all the white people left, so we can't do anything? Because that is that's the feedback that I was getting on Gary. And I said, okay, this is very, very interesting. All the people, 95% of the people, even the politicians that I was speaking to were saying, well, Gary is like this because of white flight. But what exactly can you do as a politician or a citizen of Gary or somebody who has a business idea or somebody who looks around and you don't want to live in blight? What can you do to change the conditions of the city yourself without looking outside of self in hopes that somebody else will come save you? Because ain't nobody coming to save you. Those people that you speak of, and I don't know what people they're talking about that moved to Maryville, that built Maryville, and no offense to Maryville, but I don't care if I'm offending you either. Like, the people in Gary are talking about who moved to Maryville, I don't see a lot. They ain't got long money like that. So what are you talking about? What people moved to Maryville? We know if anybody is in or around Indiana or has heard anything about Indiana, you know Indiana has a big meth issue, a huge meth issue, and it's huge around Northwest Indiana and not necessarily Gary. I'm talking about the cities that surround Gary. So you talking about those meth heads left Gary?
Yeah.
You talking about the parents of the meth heads, they left, and now you depending on them to come back and save you? No, you got to save yourself. Now we are in a position in Gary, and I'm including myself in this as well, because now I'm a Gary resident. We are in a position in Gary where the property is still relatively low. It's going up sky high year after year after year. It's going up sky high, but right now it's still relatively low. So we have an opportunity to buy these properties. But you know what I'm still hearing from a lot of people? Oh, that's scary, Gary. Why would you, like, I put out that I was looking for a tenant, and one of the people responding was like, that's scary Gary. Why would you want to invest in scary Gary? Why are you even contacting me, dude? Like, why are you even contacting me? Why are you, and the mentality. But when you talk to people outside of Gary and people who are investors outside of Gary, they're talking about the opportunities in Gary. So the people of Gary right now, you know the atmosphere of Gary. You know the neighborhoods that even Lockie Shay and I don't know, because we haven't ventured into these neighborhoods. You know the territory of Gary. So now you have the opportunity to buy these properties. You know the people who still own these properties, but they've gone and moved to Chicago, or they live in the southern states in the United States. You know these people. You grew up with them. All you got to do is pick up a phone and call them and say, yo, I want to buy your property. It's up to us. It's up to us. So I'm going to get off my soapbox, and yay to all the people I offended. I'm doing very well with my resolution.
Well, I mean, I must say that I think the soapbox that you were on is a good one. Sometimes we need to be shaken up a little bit. We need to be offended. And as you said, even if it's going to ignite movement, which is the most important thing, we want you to move, not out of your home, but move into a new thinking, move into a new acceptance of a mindset that really will set you free. You made so many great points, Aja Yassir, especially when you were saying nobody. No one is going to come and save you. No one. So we have to take control and save ourselves. And with that being said, what you got to say, Aja? What you got to say?
You know, I was going to continue on. Oh, you know, we could have this show for 3-4 hours.
I was playing it safe. Maybe I feel like now. I was playing it safe.
Well, everybody, our podcast has been going in and out, and we've recorded, like, this is our fourth recording. So we are trying to play it safe, but give you the information as well, because we have a lot of things coming up this year. In 2019, we have a lot of things coming up that we, some things we can tell you about, some things that we have to kind of fall back on while we work on them.
Yeah,
we're doing some great stuff.
We can. So I'm excited. I'm super excited. Forget that. I'm like over the top excited. Not only do we have great things coming up, but we really have done some great things in these last couple of months, the last quarter of 2018. So what can we safely talk about? So let's see. We can't talk about everything, but okay, we have a tour or a cash mob that's coming up in January. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, we have a cash mob coming up in January, and cash mob, that just means that we're going into a small business and we're going to spend money. So we're going to Level Up Nails at 1008 West Fifth Avenue in Gary. That's 1008 West Fifth Avenue, Level Up Nails. And we're going to get some services done. We're going to get pedicures or manicures, whatever you want to get done. But also we have this phenomenal real estate workshop that we're going to be doing while we're at Level Up Nails, spending money with this brand new business in Gary. What are we going to be covering in this workshop? It's like shades of all wholesaling.
So we're just going to be covering just that. We're going to be talking about wholesaling. And before I kind of share that, I want to go back. We did a really fascinating tour. I mean, I even have it on tape. I'm going to maybe upload it if I can ever figure it out. Part of it. Last month, in the month of November. We did a tour, sold out as always. We are humbled for that. The participants really enjoyed it. We had the opportunity to do some exciting things. But one thing that really stood out to me is that Aja Yassir, she did a really great class. We did about a good, I don't know, I think it was supposed to be 15 minutes, but it was like about 25 to 30 minute class, Aja. Based on
it was about 25 to 35 minutes in a cold house.
So this is where it gets good. So we went into this particular home that we wanted for the people who were on the tour to see exactly if they are investors, if they were investors, what they actually would walk into. So they were able to walk into this piece of property and to see it as is in the same condition that the former tenants left it, where there were plates still on the table, you know, clothes in the bedroom, all of that. At this point, we had not had anyone to come in and clean it out. We in the living room stood around together in the code and had a class taught by Miss Aja Yassir, and she spoke on, what did she speak on?
Seller financing, how to buy property with no credit and no money.
And to me, it was really great. And I really sincerely say that, because I think oftentimes when people think about real estate, they get to a place in their mind because they think it's only one thing. And real estate is so vast. I mean, there's so many areas that you can, you know, learn, and there's so many areas that you can actually be creative with. And seller financing was one. So she did an excellent class on seller financing. There were tons of questions. I mean, we had to like literally just cut it because we weren't expecting to spend that much time, but it was really a good class. And so I just had to say that people were able to learn a lot. And, you know, we walked away with people really feeling empowered. I just want to say this too. When we got back on that tour bus towards the end, I remember one of the young ladies that that remained on the bus, she mentioned that she felt very comfortable with us as investors it, because she said for years she had been wanting to invest money. She didn't know exactly what to do with it as it related to real estate. She wasn't sure. But she said, based on what we gave her in that class and with that tour that day, she was extremely comfortable with investing, you know, with More Gold Investors. And to me, that is a huge compliment, a huge compliment. So I had to say that. Now, back to what Aja was mentioning, I'll be blessed to do a class on wholesaling. You don't know what wholesaling is. Basically, it's when you, it's just what it sounds like. You know, like when you go into a supermarket, when you go into a store, you're getting the prices that have been set, you know, by that particular owner of that store. They, on the other hand, they get the items that you're purchasing, they get them for a wholesale price. They couldn't possibly get them for the same price that you're paying for them. Yes. They're getting them at a lower price, so that they can be able to actually make money and sell at a higher price. It's business. This is what people do all over in just about every aspect of it. The same way in car sales. You go to a car lot, surely, what sense would it make for someone to sell you a car if they paid the same amount of money that they're going to sell it to you for? They would not make any money. So this is why there's something called wholesaling, when you can purchase on a much larger scale. You can purchase, say, opposed to just one, you can purchase 100, therefore the price goes down. Well, with wholesaling in real estate, you can actually purchase below market price. And when you purchase below market price, then there's a lot of room in between to play around with, meaning there's a lot of room where you actually can make a profit. And that's really all wholesaling is in a nutshell. So what I'm going to be sharing at the class when we go to, where we have this cash mob at the spa, just tidbits on wholesaling, how you can actually profit in real estate with wholesaling properties. And that's what I'm going to share.
And it's going to be off the chain, because I'm telling you, it's going to be so much information that is going to be shared during this cash mob. And you get to support a brand new nail shop in Gary. Gary is on the move, y'all. And that's the thing. When we bring people to Gary, we want to show them the opportunities in Gary. Because in many of the businesses that we're taking people to, these are people who packed up and came from other places. We go into Gary-owned businesses, you know, people who are from Gary too. But many of the businesses that we go into are run by people who packed up and moved to Gary, which sounds crazy to people who think that Gary is some kind of forbidden slum or something, but Gary is full of opportunities, and we want everybody to see those opportunities. And we cannot wait for you to see what is going on at Level Up Nails in the surrounding area. We're going to be near the downtown area. And again, like Ishea is going to give us so much information, so much information. You need to go to Eventbrite and look up More Gold Investors and sign up for either the 10:30 workshop or the 12 o'clock workshop. They're an hour and a half, 10:30 to 12, and then we have another one that's 12 to 1:30. You have to get it, because they're going to sell out. They're going to sell out very, very, very quickly. So you need to go there right now and make it happen. We have a lot of things coming up in 2019. We won't get into everything because the show is getting long now. But we have a lot of great things. Do you want to touch on some of the things we have coming up in 2019?
I'm just trying to figure out what's safe to touch on. You know, I don't want to push the envelope too much. I do want to share, though. Let's see. So what do you think? What can we talk about?
Well, we have some really, really exciting tours. We're taking these tours to like level 100. The tours are already fantastic, but we're up in the game on a level that is crazy. A level that you probably ain't never heard of, y'all. I'm sorry. You probably ain't never heard nobody doing nothing we're getting ready to do.
Oh, yeah, we are. Well, can we talk about our Black History Tour?
Is that okay? Yes, we can talk about that because that's coming up like very, very soon.
So in February, okay, sorry. In February, we are going to take you to some historic areas in the Gary area where there is an abundance of wealth and information related to the history or Black history in Gary. And to me, that's everything. It's Black History Month. Why not?
Yeah. That's going to be a phenomenal tour. Why don't you go to More Gold Investors, our Facebook page, because we're going to be posting the February Black History Tour very soon, because we need to fill up this bus, and it's going to be filling up very quickly. We want to get you on the bus. So we're going to put that up soon, even before our January cash mob happens. We're going to be advertising this February Black History Tour. You have to be there. Even if you aren't Black, you need to be there.
Yeah, because that, history in Gary, and
yeah,
it didn't just pop up. Okay.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I won't say unfortunately. What I will say is, again, because we know that there's always opportunities, this is an opportunity for More Gold Investors to be able to share rich history, because who else has done it? And there's so much hidden history. It's almost like in some cases we'll find out or we'll think that it didn't exist.
Mm.
So our jobs or one of our commitments to the community is to breathe life.
Yes.
To bring and breathe back the life that was taken. So by us sharing information that others don't know, to me, that's golden. That's rich.
Yeah.
You can be rich in so many different ways. Knowledge is absolutely one of them. It is valuable because the more knowledge and information that you have, the more you increase, the more you work your worth, the more valuable you become to your community. So,
and it's so interesting that much of the history that we're going to be talking about, the Black history that we're going to be talking about on this tour, have to do with real estate. It's so interesting. But real estate is the foundation of wealth. Well, thank you for joining. thank you for joining More Gold Investors Podcast. Thank you for joining More Gold Investors Podcast. We really do appreciate you joining us. And you can check us out at moregoldinvestors.com. You can check us out at More Gold Investors Instagram as well as Facebook. Also, hit us up on email if you wish. Go ahead and hit us up at info@moregoldinvestors.com. Have a great, 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 great rest of your day, rest of your year, rest of your new year, all of that. We will be seeing you very, very soon in Gary.
There you go.